Well, amen. Greeting from the Nut House.
So I was on the Nut House today. Say, no, preacher, you mean in the Nut House? No, the nuts have escaped. They're now driving on the freeways. Amen. And you know, I thought I had you know, pretty well licked my pride. You know, I try to, you know, I pray about it all the time and try to beat it down. But about the fifth time I got cut off, I found out I didn't have it all gone. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to be back. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Ezekiel 14 with me tonight. That introduction was leading right up to what I'm going to be preaching about. I tend to preach on things I'm going through or things I'm helping somebody else through. Because I know one thing, if I've got the problem, somebody else does too. And I know one thing good about here, I can pull no punches. Amen. You'd be amazed if you bring it up in most Baptist churches, they'd probably run you out the door. Yep. Not in my church.
Yes, sir. In their church.
Right. In their church. Yes. Bank on it.
Right.
Amen.
They just don't know yet.
And really, a lot of it is just flat out ignorance.
Yep.
And then another part of it is denial.
Yep.
Denying the facts. Amen. Ezekiel 14, let's read, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight. I don't take it lightly. Lord God, the best I know how, I give you the vessel. Once again, ask you to fill it, Lord, to overflowing. And please allow that overflow, Lord, to meet the need of each heart here. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is the house of Israel, and they're in a mess. They're estranged from God, as God put it. And the bad part of it is they don't even know it. You know, the worst thing about being deceived is you don't know it.
That's right.
Yet you're deceived. Everybody around you can see it that's got sense. But you can't, because why?
That's right.
You're deceived. Amen.
Yep.
And it's the same with this thing. They're estranged and they can't see it. There's something in front of their eyes. And that something is called in the Bible the stumbling block of their iniquity. Now there's something before their eyes, amen, that everywhere they turn, that's what they look through. That's like right now I'm looking through these glasses. Brother Jack Wood was a hero of mine. Still is, but he's in heaven now. And Brother Jack, before he got saved, was an old dope head. And he told a story many times about looking through jaded glasses. He said, man, he was a horse trader. He'd buy and sell all the time. One time he bought a whole truckload, Brother Dale, of watermelons. And the problem was, he's about two-thirds gone, and he was wearing a pair of sunglasses, real dark green sunglasses. He said, man, them melons look like they were perfect. He said, I got them home. Every one of them was rotten.
Oh,
I was looking through jaded glasses,
yes.
You see. And here's what happens. They've got folks in Baptist churches today. They've got the stumbling block of their iniquity. And it might be that, amen, there's several reasons for that thing. I mean, it could be they're just viable. You know what I'm finding? I'm finding people just like these young people that have been molested. Amen. And what happens is they get something before their face because some trickster, some huckster, some guy, amen, in decent Baptist clothes, amen, with a decent Baptist title, amen, and he's pulled up alongside of them, amen, in a Baptist church, amen.
Yes, sir.
And he slicked them. What he does, he'll watch that family and he'll wait, amen. And he'll wait until that family, one of those children in that family, gets slighted. It'll happen. Listen, if you've never slighted a child, you're the most perfect parent I've ever seen. Because it happens. You know, you took something from Susie that Johnny wanted to play with, and you know, you gave it to Johnny, or vice versa. You know, you didn't get the whole story, maybe. And you know, you gave it. And so it looks like one of those children got slighted. And what's that guy do, man? He picks up on that. And man, I tell you what, you got 10 kids, you're going to slight one. Now you got one kid, you'll probably slight him somewhere. Mm-hmm. It happens. We're humans. None of us is perfect. And he'll watch and he'll pick up on that thing. And what he'll do is he'll sidle up alongside that kid and he'll look at him and say, "Oh yeah, you know, your sister, she gets all the breaks, don't she?" Whoa, look out now. And then while, you know, sister's getting all the breaks, you're getting all the raw deals, aren't you? I saw the way that happened. You know, that wouldn't happen if I was your friend, you know. And next thing you know, man, they're buddy-buddying up to that kid. And next thing you know, that kid is supplanting mom and dad's authority with his own. And he becomes the authority in that young person's life. And he gets that kid to distrust mom and dad. Let me tell you right now, if you're a young person in this room and you distrust mom and dad, there's a problem.
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir.
And you better get to the root of it fast. Or you're headed for a big problem.
Yes, exactly right.
And what happens, he gets them to distrust mom and dad, mom and dad's authority. And then all of a sudden, mom and dad are the devil. And the longer that thing goes, the worse it festers. You ever had a sliver that just wouldn't come out? Man, the longer that thing stays in there, the bigger that pus sack gets.
Yes, sir.
And the sorer that foot gets. And it's just like that heart, amen, that's been led away from its God-given authority. And made to think that somebody else would do them better. You better look out, because they can't do better. Ain't nothing better than God-given authority. And man, you got good parents trying to teach you right from wrong, get you in church and get you saved, and get you to hear the gospel, and amen, grow up to be a godly Christian. You got the best thing on the planet.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I don't care who they are. If that's what they're trying to do in your life, that's the best thing you could ever have. And what happens? Some slickster, man, slides up alongside him and supplants him. And next thing you know, man, that family's divided. And with that division, now comes a sore spot, a fester. And every time something rubs that fester, what happens?
I hate my parents.
I remember when our daughter, the night she left the house, she had bruised her mother's arm. And I literally had to put her in a chokehold like this and slam her down in the chair. She was not the daughter I raised. There was something else going on inside her, and I had no idea. It took me 10 years to find it out. And so what happened? She goes running out the door down into the dark. Never been, amen, on the street one night in her life. Always slept in mama's clean sheets. Always woke up to mama's smell of cooking breakfast. Always. And there she went. And my younger daughter had saw what she'd done to her mother. And she went out and she stood there on the porch, she said, "I hate you! I hate you! I hate you!" I said, "No, no, no. No, come back in here. You don't hate your sister. That is your sister. You do not hate your sister. You love your sister. Your sister does not know what she's doing right now. We're going to pray for your sister." We got down that night and we began to pray for each other. And as we prayed, I said, "God, please. She's never, ever been where she's going right now. She has no idea what she's going to meet up. But God, would you, in your goodness, would you please let every man she meets be a Christian? God, would you show her your goodness, because the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now you gotta understand, sometimes the goodness of God doesn't look good to the eye of man. But God knows it's good. And I knew that when I prayed. I said, God, whatever that means, you do it. Show her your goodness. But she came back. She'd been back home just a little bit. And we were trying to reestablish trust because neither one of us could trust each other. And I had to stay home one particular night with her. And she began to tell me what happened that night. She said, Daddy, it's the strangest thing. And she didn't know what I prayed. Had no idea. She said, Daddy, it's the strangest thing. I met three men that night. She said, you know what? It was weird. All three of them were saved. I just smiled. She said the last one was a cop. And the last one was a fellow. He called his wife and said, look, I got this troubled girl. Can I bring her home? I said, imagine that. She said, then you know what happened? She said, they put me in a nice room down in the basement, put me in clean sheets, put me under a bed. I mean, just a wonderful thing. Just put me down there in that bed. And I woke up in the morning and I smelled bacon and eggs cooking. And she said, it's just like smelling mama's cooking. And she said, I realized I did not deserve to be where I was. I deserved to be in a ditch dead. And she said, I realized right there that God was being good to me and showing me his goodness. And then I told her what I prayed.
Parents, never give up praying for your children.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how old they are. Never give up praying for them. Why? Because that promise is still there. God wrote that book and he said exactly what the preacher said earlier. Amen. Train up a child in the way which he should go. Didn't say the way he would go.
That's right.
Said the way he should go. It's up to you to train him in the way he should go. It's up to him to go the way he would go. It's his choice. And you can't get in his heart. All you can do is do your best to put that book in there. And that book will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose whereunto God sent it. And so, preacher's already said the story, man. Now, I mean, she's got four children. And they're all being brought up in church. And she's making a stand for Jesus Christ. I mean, in family issues, amen. Other sides of the family, amen. Against things that ain't right. And I don't have to say nothing. I mean, she's a fireball. She's redheaded like I used to be. Amen. You know what had to happen? She had to get rid of the stumbling block of her iniquity. Because whether it was put in there because somebody messed with you, or whether it's put in there because you chose to go the wrong way, or whether it's just put in there because you like the sin and was playing with it, that stumbling block has to be dealt with. It's ever before your face. That's what it says. Every time you look at somebody, you know what? And I've watched it. Preach, I've seen it in churches. Pastor Haynes, I've seen pastors stand up and accuse somebody on that side of the church from this side of the church of what they were doing. And I know so because I counseled them. But this fellow over here don't know nothing. He's getting accused of doing what this pastor had been doing. You know why? Stumbling block of his iniquity.
Yep.
When you look through that thing, you know what you see? Your own sin.
That's right.
And all you can see in that thing, you look at somebody, oh, he's guilty. He did it. He's guilty. Why? Because that's what you're looking at. And you can't get through to somebody's head like that. Hey, man, you got to deal with this problem. If you don't deal with this problem, you're never going to get it right. You're never going to be able to assess anything correctly. Because there's something before your face that jades the way you look and what you see through. And brother, there's people all over this country in good Bible-believing churches, man. Amen. And they've got some sin there that hasn't been dealt with.
Yes.
And it's causing them to judge unrighteous judgment. And I know you've all heard the misquote, judge not lest ye be judged. Somebody needs to study their Bible.
That's right.
Amen, because that's not how it's worded.
That's right.
And it's not what it's talking about.
That book says in 1 Corinthians, amen, that know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Judge the angels? I mean, we're told to judge. We're told to judge righteous judgment. Well, how are you going to judge righteous judgment if what you're looking through is jaded?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Listen, when you pull up to the stoplight down here in Cuba, you better judge that light. If that thing's red, you better judge it and you better act accordingly. Amen. And when it says green and you're sitting there, you better act accordingly. The guy behind you liable to push you through it. Nowadays. Amen. He said, speak unto them the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, every man that setteth up it idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. In other words, he's got idols in there. See, what this pervert did was replace mom and daddy in this case. And what this pervert did, amen, was help that young man to put an idol in his heart.
Yep.
Put somebody in it. Why? Because mom and daddy ought to be in there. The very first thing we ought to do as parents is win our children's hearts.
Yep.
What happened? They get somebody else in there, Brother Dale. And then what happens? With that idol comes that stumbling block. What's a stumbling block doing? It's simple, isn't it? It causes you to stumble. It blocks your way. And you trip over that thing. You can't even make a step without messing up, man. Everywhere you turn, you look at that thing. And everything you see is that thing. For everybody you look at is that thing. Now, we're Christians, right? We're saved, right? Bought by the blood. Washed in the blood. Filled with the Holy Ghost, right? What are we supposed to set before our eyes? Take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. See, if we're not careful, we can become these people right here. We can become these Israelites in essence. We can do exactly what they did. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. What are you looking through? See, if you look through this book,
yes,
you know what you're going to judge? Exactly what this book says, judge. But if you look through that stumbling block, that jaded thing there, what are you going to see? You're going to see jade. You're going to see a picture that is not the true picture. This book is, amen, the one thing that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Therefore, if we're going to do this thing right, that thing needs to be before us. Amen. Oh, they ain't going to go preach about reading your Bible. Yeah. Amen. Every day. I mean a lot. So how many pages should I read until it melts your cold, cold heart? Amen. And let God get a hold of you when you read it. Let God speak to you. And listen. Because why? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Right? Psalm 37:23. Order my steps, Psalm 119:133. Order my steps thereto in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. See, when we pick that thing up and we let that thing rub, and listen, you know what happens? After a while, we get used to being rubbed. And we get the light in the rug. So you know what we do? We drag it back up again.
so we can get rubbed again. So we can let that hatred fester more. So we can let all that anger fester more and that bitterness fester more. When what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be looking through the Word of God. We're supposed to be letting the Word of God rub us. You know what happens if it rubs us? What's it going to rub off? All the unholy. All the bitterness. All the anger. That's what it's going to work on. It's going to take that stuff out of us and off of us. But you see, if we just keep letting that fester rub us, amen, all we're going to do is keep getting more fester.
Yes, sir.
One big ball of pus waiting to blow up. Amen. And then what happens? Eventually it's going to blow up. I mean, I've seen it. I hate to say I've seen it all, but I've seen a lot. And one thing I know, it's going to blow up. Oh, no, I got it under control.
Really?
Just by the way you responded, tells others you don't. That ought to be a little warning sign. Well, you know what? I don't have this thing. God, would you please help me here? God, would you show me in this book what I can do here? God, please feed my soul. God, show me how to deal with this thing. I've seen people get mad at each other. Instead of dealing with it scripturally, like Matthew 18 tells them, to go to them and straighten out, they don't. They'd rather rub that fester.
Yes.
All over the place. It's gonna blow up. You can't hide it forever. You need to deal with it. It needs to be handled scripturally. Say, man, I don't know what to do. Excuse me. I'm praying. I'm asking God. You know what? Ask your preacher.
Man. That's right. Yeah, sir.
He got more wisdom than you might think.
Yeah, that's right.
Ask him to take the Bible and show you what to do with it. Seek some counsel from godly men, amen, that have been there.
Yes, sir.
Ask Brother Dale what to do with it. He'll tell you what to do with it. He's been through a few things. Ask Pastor Hayne.
Oh, yes.
Man, he's right up there with Doc Green as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Doc Green's the holiest man I know. He's right second right there. Amen. Ask somebody that's been around the block. Man, if this thing just beating you up, ask somebody that's been around the block. Would you mind showing me? Would you mind helping me? Would you mind praying with me? I'm praying, man. I'm fasting. I can't get victory over this thing. And man, it's just eating my lunch, and it's making me bitter. It's making me angry. It's making me hate people I shouldn't hate. And it's making, God, would you pray for me? Would you help me? Amen. And then don't just ask them, but take the counsel. I told you the case of this pastor blaming, if he had just taken the counsel he was given. And it wasn't hard counsel, preacher. That's what blew my way. It wasn't hard. If he had just taken the counsel. You know what I'd like to do with every young pastor? I say young, that's under 40. And now I'm about to say under 50.
Yeah.
They need to come and sit under John Asquith for about 5 years before they ever go back to the church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That man's got more grace with people. I'm not trying to puff him up. He knows that. He's my dear friend. And some of you, you know what I'm talking about. He's got more grace with people than anybody I've ever met.
Amen.
I mean, people that are in a mess. You know where most of you would be tonight if he was not your pastor? Out there in the street, shooting a needle in your arm. But God gave you a pastor that loved you. And was patient with you and put up with you and just loved you and fed you the book and loved you and fed you the book. Loved you and fed you the book.
Thank the Lord.
And that's exactly what you needed.
Exactly.
You know what most folks do now? I got a golf game, man. Excuse me. I'm not even sure Brother John would even know which end of the golf club to hold. Amen. But I know one thing. He knows how to get a hold of God.
Amen.
He knows how to take you by your hand, God by his hand, and bring the two together.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
But you know what people want to do? They'd rather wallow in their
That's right.
Sorrow.
Yes, sir.
They'd rather wallow in their stumbling block of iniquity.
Yes.
When right before them, sitting in their laps and standing here, day in and day out in the pulpit, is this book. That's got the answer. That's got the way. That's got the steps for you to take. The steps of a good man. I ain't no good. I'm wicked as the devil. Well, join the crowd. Amen. After 40 years. Yeah, hallelujah. But I can still get my steps directed in that book if I'll just do what it says and submit myself to it. What happened? He said, put these things, what? They bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. People thought I was nuts when I got saved, man. I got a hold of that thing.
Amen.
I started writing it all over the house, man. We bought this new fifth wheel, right? The Lord gave us this fifth wheel trailer. You go in there and all over the walls now. My wife found these things. We don't have no little plaques no more, man. It's on the wall. Be still and know that I'm God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, all over the place, man, scripture.
Amen.
Why? Because that's the one thing that'll purify this thing.
Yes.
That's the one thing that can read this thing like a book. And people talk to you, well, you know, and if they throw out just some comment just off the cuff. How'd you know? You told them about my past, didn't you? I didn't tell nobody. But you know what? You're looking at another person who's walking in your shoes.
Yeah.
And they know exactly where you are. And they know how to read your reading. Because
yeah.
You see, it's written all over your face.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're not lying.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
So best thing to do is be honest about it. Confess it. Get it right with God. Get it right with man. And move on.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What's the stumbling block of iniquity if it's not wicked? Yet people do it. Man, is that stumbling block or is it the word of God? And then Psalms goes on to say, it shall not cleave to me. He said it and purposed in his heart, this is what's going to be before my eyes. No wicked thing. Romans 3:18 said there's no fear of God before their eyes. You know why? Because they're looking at the wrong thing.
Exactly right.
Man, you ever once, what's that song say, Fanny Crosby wrote? Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Man, you ever get a good look at him? You won't want to look at nothing else. Ooh, man, I'm telling you. A good look at him takes care of that stumbling block. A good look at him takes care of that sin. A good look at him will get you out of trouble.
Yes, sir.
Because it'll put something in your heart to make you want out of trouble.
Yes, sir, exactly.
And the problem is, most folks don't want out of trouble.
They don't want out.
They'd rather wallow in it.
Yes, sir,
that's right.
See, if it's the word of God before us, you can see clearly to properly judge every situation you come into. But if it's that stumbling block, you're looking through a jaded glass. And all you see is crud. And therefore, when you look at somebody else, all you see is it's your crud, but you think it's their crud. I mean, it's like a guy, you know, got dirty pictures painted on his glasses, you know. All he sees is dirty pictures.
Yep.
Same thing. Or stars. You know, all you see is stars. Whatever. Whatever's before your eyes is what you're going to see. And that's what you're going to look through. 2 Peter 2:14 says it this way. They having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. You know why they cannot cease from sin? Because they won't put it down. They won't deal with it like it should be dealt with. Well, you know, I've dealt with folks and, well, you know, I've asked the Lord to forgive me. You know what? If the slate's clean, you know what I know from experience? The heart is joyful. and the heart is clean. And therefore, when the heart is clean, the mind can be cleared up. I mean, that maniac of Gadara, man, when his heart was full of rottenness, what he had, he's in there with the pigs. But once he got fixed, man, once he got to the Lord Jesus Christ, got a good look at him and got his sin taken care of, what happened?
Yep.
He was seated, and for the first time in a long time had clothes on, and he was in his right mind.
How about that? Yes, sir.
Can you remember when you started thinking right?
Yes, sir.
Man, what a difference. I have an old friend of mine, he's in heaven now, Brother Willie Cosby. He was a con man. They was in a big preacher meeting one time, him and a bunch of preachers, and they was all, you know, talking about where they went to school and all, you know. And he said, I went to Arizona State. Brother Jack Wood leaned over and said, he ain't got the heart to tell you, I was Arizona State Penitentiary. He's a con man.
Yeah,
and he got saved. And man, he got right with God.
Man.
And he said, how I knew that happened. He said, because I just got out of prison. I've been out of prison not even a week. He said, I went into this restaurant. And he said, this old gal, she gave me $10 too much change. And I realized it. When I got out to the street, I realized I started counting my money. And I had $10 too much. And he said, I knew something happened. It was God, because I took the money back and gave it to her. There's a difference, amen. What happens, man, if all you can see is your sin, then you're judging everybody of your sin. Through your sin. Man, if you get that thing dealt with and get your heart cleaned up, amen, get that all out of the way, then you can start to see them through this book. You know why we love each other? You know why I love that preacher right there? Because we look at each other through this book.
That's good.
You know why I love that old man sitting back there? Because we look at each other through this book.
That's good. Yes, sir.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
I don't see his fault. He don't see mine. Now, do we see him if it happened? Yeah.
Good question.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what? They're not brought up.
That's right.
Why? Because we look at each other through that book. I love my wife. Do I see her faults? She ain't got too many. She ain't like me. But you know what I see? I look at her through that book. You know what I think? I think she's the most beautiful woman on the planet.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
That's the woman God gave me. I love that woman. She has put up with me now for almost 44 years. She's going to get the crown of life when we get to heaven. Amen. But you know what? If I don't look at her through this book, you know what I start to see? You're going to like this one. My faults in her.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah. What are we looking through tonight? You know, sometimes, listen, only God can guide your steps to straighten out your mess. But sometimes, there needs to be some backtracking. Back to where you got some things right. And you may need to go make some restitution. You may need to go to somebody and say, look, brother, you've offended me. Here's what you did. And they may deny it. Listen, the fellow did what he did to my daughter. I went to him. You know what he did? He denied it. He made her word against his word. Do you know what he did? He left me with God. Can I say something tonight? He's not in the ministry anymore. And I didn't have anything to do with it. He's miserable tonight. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm not bragging. No, please don't think I am.
That's right.
You know what I can do by the grace of God? I can get down on my knees and love that man through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And ask Jesus Christ to forgive that man through me. What did Paul say over there in Corinthians? If I forgave anyone, I forgave them in the person of Christ.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
I could forgive him. No. No. Cliff said 357.
Yes, sir. No.
God said, John 3:16. Colossians 1:14. Ephesians. God started throwing a verse at you. He said, son, if you let me take care of it, I'll fix it right. Say, well, it hadn't come around yet. My mama used to say, growing up, what goes around comes around. It's going to come around. It just takes time.
I've got friends tonight that are out of the ministry because of their own sin. But Dale, I pray for them. I've gone through them one by one. I've looked them in their God-given eyeball and said, you look at this face and you look at it good. Because when you get to the end of the road you're on and you finally turn around, this is the first face you're going to see. Because that book says a friend loveth at all times.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And I'm a friend.
Yes.
God made me a friend.
Amen.
And I'll give you a friend. It doesn't matter to me. I'll be a friend. You know what you need? You need a friend. There's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother.
Yes, sir.
But you need somebody. Maybe they won't be able to understand you all the way, but they know how to listen. And you know how to get a hold of God for you.
That's good.
You know, you may have been harmed in a very wicked way. A very illicit way. But you know what you have to do? Deal with the stumbling block that keeps coming, popping back up. Get it taken care of. Why? Because bitterness comes out of that thing. When you're looking through a jaded glass, it not only jades your vision, it jades you. And you begin to be just exactly what that thing is. You begin, amen, to get bitter. Because that's all you see is bitterness. That's all you see is hatred. That's all you see is anger. What's it say in Hebrews 12:15? Beware lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many shall be defiled. I've watched it destroy a whole church. I mean, it didn't just permeate, it blew it apart. And a strong church. Why? Because one man looked through the stumbling block of his iniquity and couldn't get over it. Because he would not deal with it scripturally. You've got a book tonight that gives you the answer. It gives you the steps. And if you need help finding them, there's folks here can help you.
Yes, sir.
You're in the right place.
Yep.
You're in the place where you can find what you need.
Yes.
To right the wrongs, to straighten out the mess, to clear up your head. Amen. And to get it where you finally get peace.
Yes.
Listen, there's nothing like the peace of God. I know this, if you're looking through the stumbling block of your iniquity, there's no peace. Because all you see is wickedness. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You deal with that thing. Get it out of there. Get it out of the way. Listen, you can't just shove it to the side, shove it under a corner, push it under the rug, shove it under the pew. It's going to pop back up again.
Yeah.
What Paul say? Forgetting those things which are behind. Did he literally, honestly forget them in his mind? No, read 2 Corinthians 12. He didn't forget them in his mind. He wrote about them. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't hang them out there dry anymore. And oh yeah, I want to fester on that one. I want to grab that one and fester on that one. If anybody had a right to, he could. But he didn't. He chose to look every situation boldly through the Word of God. And when he did, God began to use him mightily. I'll say this to you and I'm done. You're not here by accident. You're not on this planet by accident. God knew the moment you were going to be born. Therefore, God had a purpose for you. Oh, but you don't know. I don't need to. God does. And he knows exactly where you're at. You know what? He knows your address. He knows your phone number. He knows how to dial it if you'll just look for him. He'll dial you up. Amen. And he'll meet the need. But you got to follow him through this book.
Yes, help us.
Let him show you
exactly, step by step, and take care of that thing. You know what happened to Israel? That stumbling block of the iniquity, amen, took them down so bad that they wouldn't even receive their Messiah when he showed up on the scene. And you know what they got to do now? They've been waiting 2,000 years since the Messiah. This was written several hundred years before the Messiah. About 1150, something like that. So 3,000 years, man. Why? The stumbling block of their iniquity got in their way. Now eventually, God's going to clear that thing up.
Yes, sir.
And God's going to straighten it out. He's going to right the ship. It just takes time. But 3,000 years, man. Anybody in here got 3,000 years to wait? Be good to get God on that thing.
Yes. Amen.
And get that thing dealt with and out of the way. So you can then begin a life fruitful for God.
Yes,
and used of God. In a way that God can bring glory and honor to himself through you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, as messed up as we are, he still chooses to use us. Amen.
Amen.
What a God. Father, best I know how I did what you told me to do tonight. God, I pray it's been a help and a blessing.
God, meet them in his heart. Loose the bound. Give liberty, God.
Yes, help us.
And take folks that have been bound up and take them. And help them, God, get it cleared up. And help them, God, get it right. And get God right with you and straightened out with you. And get that thing out of their way, God, so you can begin to use them and bring fruit. And bless their lives abundantly, Father. Like you promised in John 10:10, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.